the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. I'm going to be using several verses from the 8th chapter, but my text is verse 18. Let's look at it for a moment. Verse 18. Our Lord says, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, as a result of hearing, he's heard well. Therefore, he's gained something through the hearing. To him more shall be given. And whosoever hath not, he hasn't gained anything by hearing. He hasn't heard very well. So he doesn't have much. For from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth or thinketh that he has. Isn't that something? Take heed, therefore, how you hear the preaching of God's word. How you hear it. For whosoever hath, whosoever has heard well and gained thereby, to him more and more and more shall be given. But whosoever hath not, he hasn't heard very well, from him will be taken away even that which he thinketh that he has. Now, I recently brought a message from this parable of the sower. The parable of the sower precedes what our Lord just said here. Take heed how you hear. Well, he's just given the parable of the sower. And I preached from that recently. Let's review it just briefly. Luke 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some of the seed fell upon rocky soil, stony ground. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. It lacked moisture. Why? It had no root. Some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. Mark said some 30, some 50, some 100. And when he had said these things, he cried, now he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples gathered round him, and they said, what might this parable mean? What does this mean? And he said to them, the disciples, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to others in parables. I speak in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, listen. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed is called the word of truth. It's called the word of life. It's called the word of God. It's the word of truth in that it declares the truth about God. This book declares the truth about God. We don't have to wonder about our God. He's just, he's holy, he's righteous, he's almighty, he's sovereign. He delights to show mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. He delights to show grace. This word tells us that he's entered into a covenant with Christ to redeem a people. God's going to redeem a people. God's going to have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and it's going to be inhabited and populated by people conformed to the image of his Son. This is the word of truth. It's the truth about God. It's the truth about us, about our fall in Adam. All die. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men for all sin. Tells the truth about our nature. There's none good, none righteous, none that understandeth God, none that seeketh God. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all, like sheep, gone astray and wandered in our own way. And this word tells the truth about our inability. No man will come to Christ, or wants to come to Christ, or desires to come to Christ, or is able to come to Christ unless God draws him. That's what it's saying. That's the truth, isn't it? It's called the word of truth. It's the truth about God. It's the truth about us. And it's the truth about Christ, who he is. He's the Son of God. Bear God of bear God. He said, I and my Father are one. What he did, he died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Why did he do it? That God may be just and justifier. Where is he now? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's entered within the veil. He's the forerunner, has entered into the holy place, not with the blood of others, but with his own blood, and obtained eternal redemption for us, and sat down as our intercessor. That's the truth. This is the word of truth. Truth about God, and the truth about us, and the truth about Christ, and it's called the word of life. This is the word of life. Seed has life in it, doesn't it? When farmers go out and sow seed, why do they sow seed? Just for the joy of throwing something in the ground? No, that seed has life in it. If it rains on it and the sun shines on it, it'll grow up. It has the seed actually itself has life in it. Did you know that? There's life in seed. The seed is the word of God. There's life in this word. Oh, yes, sir, there's life in this word. The scripture said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There's life in this word. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God. You know what the seed is in the new birth? It's the word of God. That's exactly right. A man goes into a woman. The man's the father of the child, but the seed, the life's in the seed. Is that right? All right, I preach, or the Son of God preaches. But the life is in the seed. It's in the Word. And Christ is the Word. That's right. And this Word, this is the Word of truth. It's the Word of life. If the Holy Spirit makes it effectual, it'll give life where it falls on good ground. That's right. And it's the Word of God. It's the very Word of God. Turn to whole Luke 8 and turn to Titus chapter 1. Listen to this, Titus chapter 1. This is the very Word of God. Titus, the first chapter, verse 1 and 2. Listen. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Who did it? God did it. God promised it. God gave it, and God can't lie. This is the word of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, which you're listening to right now, you received it not as the word of men, it's not the word of men, But as it is in truth, it's the Word of God which does what? Effectually worketh also in you. That belief. The Word works. The Word gives life. The Word gives growth. The Word gives comfort. It's the Word itself. It's not what I say about it. It's the Word itself that worketh effectually. It's the Word of God. So when our Lord says here in Luke 8, look back at verse 11, he said the seed's the Word of God. The sower went out to sow. And the seed which he sowed is the Word of God. It's the Word of truth. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of life. For it worketh effectually. Now then, verse 12. In these verses, our Lord tells us how that powerful, effectual Word of God is received. How it's received. This truth, life, Word of God, how is it received? Well, those by the wayside are they that hear. And then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The wayside's the fallow ground, hard ground, and the word falls on it. It's unprepared. These people are not interested. They're indifferent. They're careless. They have no interest. And this sacred, holy, powerful, life-giving word seed, as it's scattered, as it's preached, it falls on them. But this is as far as it gets. Right here. As far as it gets. There's no interest. There's no reception. There's no pulling it in. There's no feeding upon it. It just lays here, right where it fell. And then they go out. And all these things round about them just remove it. It's gone, just like that. It's gone. Satan is back of it. He doesn't personally do it. But all he has to do is have somebody come by and talk to you about something else, and it's gone. Somebody interjects a thought here, and it's gone. He's a manipulator. He's a motivator. And it's gone. And then he says in the next verse, folks, the seed fell on the rocky ground, stony ground. And these are folks that hear. They hear real quickly. They receive it with joy. And they have no root. Which for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. These are folks that listen to the word and they say that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. They hear it with their head. They have an intellectual interest, but no heart. Where does a root reach? A root reaches deep. These here, he had said, had no root. When the seed fell on the stony ground, the root, it couldn't go down. It went out. And when it went out and the sun came down on it, burned it up. If roots are going to get down into the water and down into the nourishment, they got to go down deep. And if this word that fallen on these ears this morning, is it brings forth any fruit for the glory of God or last or does you any good, it's going to have to get down here. Isn't that right? You're going to have to pass this brain here and this mental, intellectual ascent. That's pretty good preaching. You know, that's true. What he says is true. He's reading the Bible. That's what he's preaching out of the Bible. But wait a minute. Did he get down here? With a heart, man believeth. Down into the soul. Down into the deep recesses of your being. Down where you live. Down where you dwell. But these folks, religion's kind of a sideline. Not the center of their affections. The center of their affections on something else or somebody else, not Christ, not the gospel. So it withers away. And then he says, they that, verse 14, they that fell among the thorns, these are they which when they heard, they go forth and they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They care more about how they look outwardly than how they are inwardly. They care about how they're riding in this world instead of what they're going to ride to glory. They care more about their earthly dwelling than they do their heavenly dwelling. That's right. Cares and riches and pleasures of this world. The Word is not uppermost. God is not the center of their hearts and affections. Other things are. And so the Word, it may even grow. It may even grow. It may even take some root. It may even look like a pretty good plant. But these things are just too much for it. They're just too much. The son of the bondwoman cannot live with the son of the free woman. They cannot grow together. Idols of this world and the cares and things of this world, they just can't abide with that seed and that plant. They just choke it. Just choke it. If there's a contest between the two, if here's a young lady says she believes Christ and along comes a young man that does not believe and she wants to get married, she will. It just chokes it out. Here's a man that's sitting in hearing the gospel and he says he loves the gospel. It sounds good. But along comes a fellow and offers him a job out yonder in Timbuktu and he'll leave the gospel. It just wins out. He just chokes it. He takes off. It's just when the contest comes, you know, they'll grow together for a while. But then there's going to be a contest. There's going to be a decision. And that decision usually goes the wrong way. That's our nature. That's us. But, verse 15, that on good ground, some of that seed fell on good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, treasure it. Mike just sang, I found the pearl. They treasure it, and they bring forth fruit. Where God has been pleased to do a work of grace, where God has given a hunger and a thirst and a desire for the living word. That's it. All right, look at verse 16. Now, this is the Master speaking. He says, no man, when he's lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel. A man doesn't light a candle and put a vessel over it. A man doesn't light a candle and put it under a bushel, under a bed. What does he do when he lights the candle? He puts it on a candlestick. Why? So that all that enter in may see the light. And what our Lord is saying is this. He's saying the Lord intended that this gospel be heard, that it be preached. He intended for the whole world to hear this gospel. The Lord didn't send Christ into this world with the light of the world, the light of life, the light of truth, the light of glory, and hide it down here in a corner somewhere, or put it off in some little church building somewhere, isolated from everybody else. No, sir. The Lord took the gospel and put it up here and said, go into all the world and preach it to everybody. Take this seed, the word, and scatter it on ears everywhere, black ears, white ears, red ears, yellow ears. Just cast it everywhere. Verse 17, nothing secret. Like Paul said to that ruler, this wasn't done in a corner. When Jesus Christ came into the world, God hung a star over his birthplace, sent angels down here to announce it. When he walked this earth, men heard him. The Son of God died outside the city wall on a cross for all to see. And when he arose from the grave, God shook the world, sent an earthquake, covered the sun when he died, sent an angel down to announce he's risen. He appeared to men, 500 brethren at once, split the veil in the temple in two, took him back to glory as people stood and looked and watched. And God sent his disciples out. He said, nothing secret that shall not be made manifest. The mysteries of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the glory of the gospel, neither anything hid that shall not be known. and come abroad. It's out there. It's preached. A lot of people lying on God, but a lot of people telling the truth. A lot of men are not preaching the gospel, but some are. A lot of people are trying to get converts for themselves, but there's some men who are pointing men to Christ. This gospel, God didn't take the light of the gospel and put it in a hole somewhere or a corner under a bed or a bushel. He put it out here so everybody can hear it. I preach it on television every Sunday morning over this 120-mile radius everywhere, the truth of the gospel, the truth of God, the truth about you, and the truth about me, and the truth about Christ. It's not secret. Now, verse 18, therefore, take heed, therefore, how you hear it. See where he's coming from? You see that? See where he's coming from? Take heed how you hear it. See that? Why? Not many hear well. That's why. You better take heed how you hear it. Because not many hear well. You know why I say that? Well, he gave us four sorts of hearing, and three of them's bad. There you are. Three-fourths of them don't hear. Isn't that right? I just read it. Our Lord gave four types of hearers, and three of them are nothing. One good. Is that right, Tom? So take heed how you hear. Three out of four won't hear it in this parable. The great majority won't hear it. That's the reason you better take heed how you hear it. Another thing he shows from this parable, not only that the majority are not going to hear it, but secondly, there's so many hindrances. You're fighting a battle, I'm telling you. You got a war on your hands if you're going to hear the gospel. It's not going to be easy. Because there are a lot of hindrances out there. Satan's a hindrance. You'll take it away from you if you can. That's what our Lord said right there. Peer pressure. That's another hindrance. Relatives. It's another hindrance. Stony ground. And that you're a hindrance. That old stony heart of yours is a hindrance. There's a way that seems right to you and to me. And that's the end is death. That your own nature rebels against the truth. The truth hurts your dignity. The truth hurts your pride. The truth hurts your love of self. The truth hurts. Your own nature is a hindrance to hearing the word of God. That old stony heart's got to be busted so that seed can put a root down there. The hindrance. The thorns and the briars. The riches of this world are a hindrance. How many congressmen, senators, you know, believe the gospel? I'm talking about the gospel. I'm not talking about how many religious. How many believe the gospel? How many managers and presidents and people in authority in these plants and all believe the gospel? Won't you name one? I tell you, riches, the love of money is the root of all evil. It'll hinder you from entering the kingdom of God. Riches, cares of this world. I'm just telling you the truth. It's a hindrance to the gospel. This world is not the friend of God. This world is not the friend of God. Now watch this. I told you this a while ago. Take heed how you hear now. For whosoever hears, really hears, hath, receives something, more is going to be given. You hear me this morning. And hear old Tom tonight. And hear old John Wednesday. Really hear them. You'll be able to hear some more. God will give you some more. You really hear. If you really want to hear, you really do hear, you really do hear, God will give you more. And whosoever hath not, whosoever doesn't hear well, God one day is going to even take away from you what you think you have. He'll even take away from you the religion you think you do have. That's right. He'll even take that away. You got a refuge, he'll even expose that. Even there which you seem to... Actually, Mark, I want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. Listen to this. Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 24. Mark makes it a little stronger. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. About this hearing business. Now, this is the same parable. Same parable. And verse 21, you remember what was reading? I watched Mark 4:21. He said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, under a bed, not to set on a candlestick? Nothing hid shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret. It shall be come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Now watch this. And he said, now take heed what you hear, how you hear, with what measure you meet. It'll be measured to you. And it unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given. He that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Well, with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you. What's Mark saying? How large is your container? Isn't that what he's saying? With what measure you meet. Measure you meet God. With what measure you hear God. With what attitude you come before God. With what container you bring. He'll fill it. He'll fill it. How serious are you? How interested are you? How dedicated are you? That's the measure that you'll receive. You know what he's saying? Take heed how you hear. For with what measure you meet, whatever you come with, whatever you desire, whatever you want. All right, back to Luke 8. Let me give you this. I have here some simple directions for hearing. Now, we've already, our Lord sufficiently has warned us. Take heed how you hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Most folks won't hear. And then there's so many hindrances to hearing. And then he said, well, how you hear is how you're going to be blessed. How you hear is how you're going to be blessed. And as you hear, really hear, you get more. And if you fail to really hear, you take away that which you have. So let me give you five simple directions for hearing the Word of God. Let me give this to you and to me. Here are five simple directions for hearing the Word of God. First of all, before you can hear aright, now honestly, this is true. Before you can hear aright, you must determine and know your state and condition in reference to God. Now this is, before you can hear aright. In other words, who's he talking to? He's talking to sinners. Are you a sinner? Isn't that right? See what I'm saying? If a man goes in a drugstore, he's seeking some relief. Well, he ought to have some idea of what his problem is, wouldn't you think so? A person's got to determine, first of all, when he goes to hear, his condition before God. Are you a sinner? The old Pharisees saw our Lord go down and sit with the publicans and harlots and other sinners, and they said, why is he associating with those people? Why is he down there talking to those people? Why is he down there ministering to those people? Why is his congregation that kind of people? And our Lord looked at him and said, the well don't need a doctor, but those that are sick. You go learn what that means. I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those are the folks going to hear. Are you a sinner? I've got good news. Do you need a redeemer? I'll tell you about a redeemer. Do you need a mediator? We've got the story right here. All right, secondly. Here's the second thing. If you're going to hear right, first of all, you determine what your problem is. What'd you come to hear? What'd you come to hear? Secondly, if you're going to hear right, come to this conclusion. This is not the word of men. This is the word of God. Now, I tell you, so many folks have a problem. Well, You go hear a certain preacher, and I know the world's full of preachers, the world's full of denominations, the world's full of religious philosophy, and it's all so confusing. It's confusing. But I'm telling you, what I'm preaching to you this morning is the Word of God. Is it not? I stood right here and read this. The Lord Jesus Christ talked to these people, and I read what He said. And I read what He said about hearing. And I read what He said about folks that didn't hear. This is the Word of God. See what I'm saying? That's what I read in Thessalonians a while ago. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, you received my message as it was, the Word of God. Not the word of men, but the Word of God. Turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, the first chapter, look at verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Paul wrote to Timothy, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Now this church and this pulpit is dedicated to one thing. Preaching the Word of God. Not what Baptists think or what I think or what you think, but what God says. And in our Sunday school classes through the years, we've gone verse by verse through the Word of God. Read the verse. Teach it. Read the verse. Teach it. Read the verse. Teach it. In the men's prayer room, every Sunday and every Wednesday, a chapter is read in God's Word. From this pulpit, every service, a chapter is read in God's Word. We're preaching God's Word. And I'll tell you what we need to do if we're going to hear right. We come first of all as sinners. And then we sit there and cast off all of our traditions and all of our customs and all of our ideas and all of our thoughts and all of our so-called heritage and raising, and we say like the Apostle Paul, I count that but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Tell me about the Son of God. Tell me about Christ. Preach to me the Word of God. Now, you'll hear if you come that way. Preach to me the Word of God. I tell you, churches are so involved in programs, doing something for the young people, doing something on Christmas, doing something on Easter, doing something on anniversaries, doing something on birthdays, appealing to folks and recognizing the flesh and getting the tithes and the offerings and all this sort of thing, finding out who's the right church, who's the wrong church, and who's got this right. Now, that all doesn't mount to a hill of beans till you know Christ. And if you come to know Christ and love Christ, it'll all fit in. It'll find its place. It'll find a place where it belongs. Isn't that right? Hear about Christ. And that's what I'm preaching to you. If you're going to hear right, you come as a sinner. Not as a know-it-all. You're not the teacher. He's the teacher. You're there to learn. I am too. And secondly, we're going to throw everything away. Except what he said. And then thirdly, now watch this. If you and I hear well, we're going to have to hear for ourselves. Our Lord said, what did he say? Take heed how you hear, Jim. That's right. You've been hearing a long time, but take heed how you hear this morning. You, Ronnie. You, Bob. He said, take heed how you hear. You, Jill. You. Gary, you. John, take heed how you hear. You know, David was sitting there on his throne, and Nathan came in. This is interesting. David's sitting there on his throne, and Nathan came in, and Nathan said, I got a story to tell you, a message from God. And David said, well, say on. He said, there was a fellow who had, a very rich man, had some company came to see him, and he had plenty of sheep. But his neighbor only had one little ewe lamb. And he was going to feed this guest that came, and he went down and got that neighbor's ewe lamb and killed it and fed it to his company. David said, "You show me who he is, and I'll off with his head." And Nathan pointed at him and said, "It's you. You're the man. You're the man." And I tell you, sometimes we hear sermons and hear all some preacher preach and hear the Word of God read, and you say, "Isn't it awful the way people are living? Isn't it awful the way folks are? Isn't it awful? Isn't this that?" Wait a minute now. We're not talking about folks. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. You. Take heed how you hear. Peter was standing there, and the Lord Jesus told him he's going to be crucified upside down. He turned and said, "What's John going to do?" The Lord said, "It's none of your business. That's none of your business. You get taken up with what John's going to do, you're going to miss out on what you're supposed to do. You leave John to me. If I want him to stay here till I come back, that's my business, not yours. You follow me." Oh, my friend, I can't emphasize this strongly enough. You've got to hear for you. You. And I'll tell you, one of those hindrances is to get mad at the preacher. Folks do. They get mad at the preacher. That's another one of those hindrances. And don't, if I sound very personal, I had a man come, this happened more than once, but a lady brought her new husband here to hear me preach. They live off in another city. And he wasn't converted, wasn't saved. She brought him here to hear me the first time. This is a fact. I'd never met him in my life, never heard of him. I shook hands with him back at the door after the service was over. They went out and got in the car, and he was pouting. And they left to go home. He said, "You told him all about me, didn't you?" She said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I know." Said, "You fill that preacher on me good and proper. Fill him in on me, didn't you? Fill him in on me. Told him all that." She said, "That preacher doesn't know you. I never mentioned your name in his presence." He said, "How do you know those things?" Well, I can look in the mirror and tell a whole lot about you. A whole lot. I can look in my own heart and tell a whole lot about you, Frank. And Frank Sr. too. Yeah, I do. I know you. I know me. I know what this says right here. So you hear. That's right. If it gets in there, that old hook gets a hold of your heart, don't get mad at me. That's right. Don't do it. Because it got me too. All right. Fourthly, if we're going to hear well, we're going to have to hear as a sinner. We're going to have to hear it as it is, the Word of God. Thirdly, we're going to have to hear it for myself. God, do something for me. And then fourthly, we're going to have to hear it with faith. Believe it. Now, don't wrangle about this now. God speaks. And God speaks concerning Christ. And God speaks to you, the sinner. And God speaks the truth. And God Almighty speaks as it is. It's true. It's the Word of God. And you don't have to understand it all. You're just supposed to believe it. Just believe it. Abraham didn't understand everything that God was going to do and everything that God promised, but old Abraham believed God. That's it. I believe God. Paul stood on the deck of that ship and said, "This thing's going down, but there's not a life going to be lost. Because there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, and he said, Paul, the ship will be lost, but not one life. And I believe it'll be exactly as he says." When God came down there to Egypt and told them to slay a lamb and roast it with fire and eat the lamb, put the blood on the door, I don't imagine they understood a whole lot of what he's talking about. But you know what they did? They believed it. They believed it. And they lived. And that's what I'm saying to you. Hear it with faith. Don't try to play. This is one of the greatest mistakes folks make, is submitting the Word of God to their intellect. That's right. I don't understand. Can't be that way because I don't understand it. Bring your intellect and lay it at the feet of God. Just lay it right there. And like a child, receive the Word. We know in part, we prophesy in part, we see through a glass dimly. How can you expect to comprehend God? How could you understand God? He said His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, let the wicked forsake his thoughts and the unrighteous man his ways, and let him return to the Lord in faith. That's it, John, just believe Him. We don't have to understand it. And then fifthly, and I'll close, if you're going to hear right, hear willing to do what He says. Hear with a heart ready to comply. Now I want to show you a scripture, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now this is so good here, I saved it to last. Acts chapter 10. There was an ignorant Gentile by the name of Cornelius. And he had prayed. He was a centurion, wasn't he? Wealthy man, had a household. And God told him to send for the Apostle Peter. And he did. And Peter came down there. And Cornelius said to him, now listen, Peter came. Acts 10, verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at 3 o'clock, at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He said, Cornelius, your prayer's heard. Your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Now you send, therefore, to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside. And when he comes, he'll speak to you. What's Peter going to speak to him? The Word of God, I'll tell you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, and you've well done that you come. Now, listen to this. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Here we sit. Now, tell us what God says. Isn't that something? Wouldn't that be wonderful if the preacher come up here on Sunday morning and people appointed a spokesman. And that spokesman got up and said, now, preacher, we're all here. We come and assemble together to listen to what God told you to tell us. And we're going to believe it. And we're going to comply with it. And we're going to walk therein. I'll tell you this, he'd be a whole lot more careful what he said. He'd be a whole lot more careful. Barnard said one time, be careful what you preach. Somebody might believe you. Somebody might believe you. He'd be more careful about what he preached. He'd prepare a little harder, wouldn't he? That happened over here in Jeremiah 42. I'll cut it short here, but there's some fellas sent to Jeremiah the prophet. Verse 4, Jeremiah 42, they told him back here in verse 3, that the Lord God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the things we may do. In Jeremiah 42:4, Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. It shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I'll declare it to you. I'll keep nothing back from you. These people sent for Jeremiah. They want to know the way of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to keep anything back from you now. I'm going to tell you everything I know. Verse 5. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not even according to all things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good, whether we think it good, or whether it be evil, whether we think it evil. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee.
that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. They said, Jeremiah, go get God's message and bring it back to us. And we're going to do it. We think it good, we're going to do it. We think it bad, we're going to do it. But we're going to do what you say. Boy, that's the way to hear, isn't it? That's the way to hear. All right, Michael, come and lead us in the singing of 176.